It's no surprise that it's illegal to restrict where people can live because of race, but it may surprise you to know racial covenants are still on the deeds of many old homes in Wisconsin. It's Friday, March 26th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a new report says two planned power plants in southeastern Wisconsin would worsen air pollution, but the companies behind the projects say the report is flawed. And the Brewers opened the season with the win over the White Sox at home yesterday. We talked to some fans at the game. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio stays connected with the whole state, thanks to its network of 8 bureaus. With reporters on the ground across Wisconsin, WPR provides a news service that connects with issues that matter to your life. Stay in touch with WPR.
Decades ago, fair housing laws made it illegal to enforce racial restrictions on who can live where. But across Wisconsin, racist language remains on the books in many housing deeds. As Sarah Lear reports, a Dane County project is tracking the prevalence of those racial covenants.
Recently, Aaron Relier of Madison got a postcard from Dane County's Planning and Development Office. It explained that his mid-century house had certain language attached to the property deed. That language specifies that the property can only be occupied by, quote, members of the Caucasian race.
Realizing your property and your home has this part of an unfortunate history attached to it, and you want to wash it off.
Relier and his partner filled out a form allowing them to formally repudiate the racist language. More than 100 property owners have filed similar documents as part of a Dane County project that includes an online map of the area's racial covenants. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Criminal charges were filed this week against a Wisconsin state senator's daughter who allegedly stole money from his campaign fund. Elizabeth Ann Johnson was serving as campaign treasurer for her father, Senator Jesse James, in 2024. That's when he says he discovered $32,000 was withdrawn from the campaign account without authorization over the course of a year. James immediately called the police and alerted the Wisconsin Ethics Commission. Johnson is charged with 4 felonies, including theft in a business setting, and 3 counts of filing false campaign finance reports. According to the criminal complaint, Johnson allegedly made 14 cash withdrawals from January through September of 2024. When confronted, she admitted she took the money because her business was taking a downturn. Johnson has repaid the money. In a statement in 2024, James said no one is above the law. A new report says pollution from 2 proposed natural gas plants in southeastern Wisconsin could contribute to more than 100 premature deaths. As Joe Schultz reports, the companies behind the project dispute the report's methodology and findings.
The report from the Climate Solutions for Health Lab at UW-Madison looked at the potential air quality and health effects of planned power plants in Kenosha and Walworth counties. The report says the Kenosha County project would be the second largest natural gas plant in Wisconsin. It estimates that fine particulate matter exposure from both facilities could cause 118 premature deaths over 30 years. Nick Mayu worked on the report. He says the findings may be a conservative estimate.
If these plants were to run more than 20% of the year, which is the estimate that we use, which is provided by the developer, then emissions could also be higher than we've stated them to be.
The companies behind the project say they will meet state and federal air quality standards. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
More prisons and jails in Wisconsin now offer treatment through medication for people with substance use disorders. That's according to a new Wisconsin Policy Forum report. Studies have found that overdose is a leading cause of death for people who have recently been released from custody. But offering incarcerated people medications for substance use disorder when they're in jail or prison can actually help. The report found the number of county jails and State Department of Corrections facilities that offer those medications has increased over the past few years. Jason Stein is the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He says there are still some gaps in access.
At the county level, we had 8 counties that stated they did not currently provide any access to these medications. We had 5 more counties that did not answer the survey.
The report found that more than 4,000 incarcerated people received treatment medication in 2024. Wisconsin farmers applauded the Trump administration's decision to allow the sale of higher ethanol fuel this summer. But as Hope Kerwin reports, some state environmental groups are worried about the long-term consequences.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says allowing the sale of E15 this summer will help keep gas more affordable for consumers. Fuel prices have soared since the start of the war in Iran. Farm groups support year-round E15 sales, and many believe this could help clear the glut of corn weighing down crop prices. But Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin says burning more ethanol contributes to air pollution and could lead to more contamination from fertilizers.
Any few pennies that folks save at the pump is really going to be outweighed by the millions of dollars a year we pay in health costs for that contamination.
Midwestern states like Wisconsin started selling E15 year-round last year after a separate waiver from the EPA. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It was opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday. They got the season started with a win over the Chicago White Sox, 14-2 the final. Before the game, of course, thousands of passionate baseball fans tailgated outside the stadium to celebrate the start of a new season.
I just love it. It's the start of summer. I mean, it doesn't seem like it today. Looking, it's cold, it's windy, but it's the start of summer. It's the start of baseball.
I mean, what's better than spending a day at the ballpark, honestly? And so it's just kind of like our big kickoff.
It's a Wisconsin tradition, in my opinion. I haven't been to a lot of games in other states. I've been to Wrigley and I've been to Fenway, but they don't do anything like this. So it's they show up to the game, walk in and get in their seat. Well, here we have a party before the game. So
that was Casey Clement of Columbus, Ohio, Jordan Pearson of West Bend, and William Gorsuch of Sauk City, all checking out the Brewers in their win over the White Sox yesterday. Coming up, a young woman who has lived in Milwaukee since the age of 5 shares her experience trying to qualify for DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Stay with us.
When you're online, visit WPR.org. You'll find news headlines from WPR and NPR and feature stories about arts, culture, music, and politics. Explore our live audio streams, links to program information, or check out upcoming events in your area. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
And finally, there are more than 5,000 people in Wisconsin who have DACA status. That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. It's estimated there are thousands more who could be eligible for the program in Wisconsin. One of them is Elle, a PhD student in her mid-20s. She's lived in Milwaukee since the age of 5. Her family is originally from Mexico. We are not using Elle's full name because she's currently undocumented. WWM's ex-Curt Nunez shared Elle's story on the podcast Status Pending.
Elle remembers the moment when she and her family learned about DACA and what it would mean for her older brothers, who were old enough to qualify for it.
But I just, like, remember crying because I think it was just really exciting that they would be able to not have to, like, work construction because, like, that's what they were going to do. It's crazy because I have, like, such, like, a love-hate relationship with, like, DACA in the sense of, like, it's never going to be enough. And then they expect us to be, like, super grateful over it. But it, like, allowed my brothers to live, like, the life that they want to live.
And it was exciting for Elle, too. But her plans to apply for DACA became uncertain when Donald Trump was elected in 2016. She says it was a time similar to now where a lot of undocumented folks feared sharing any information that the Trump administration could use against them. So she met with a lawyer to ask about DACA. It didn't go as expected.
So I had like a bad lawyer and she told me to not apply. She told me that I should try going back to Mexico and then coming back in again and doing a student visa. And I just remember like, it's so funny because I was like there with like my dad and we were like sitting there. I mean, me and my dad are very similar. So like in our heads, we're just like, no, but we're cordial, nice people. So we will, you know, nod. But like, I don't know, it was extra hurtful because she was basically telling me to like go back and try again. But we ended up not filing.
Elle knows now that was bad advice. But at the time, she and her family decided it was too risky for her to apply for DACA. Fast forward to the first day of Joe Biden's presidency in 2021, he signed a memorandum to preserve DACA after Trump unsuccessfully tried to end it. Elle says she immediately applied for DACA, and things started looking up.
So I pretty much finished the process and got all the way past my biometrics appointment. So like I remember one of my brothers who has DACA, he like drove me to the USCIS building to do my biometrics appointment.
A biometrics appointment is where immigration officials collect fingerprints, a photo, and a signature to run background checks. It's the last step to complete in the DACA application process. Elle says she was expecting to hear back any day on her application. But at the time, it was one of thousands waiting for approval.
It was that same week that President Biden appointed more people to oversee applications because it was such a big backlog. And then that same week, the judge in Texas ended up blocking DACA.
On July 16, 2021, a federal judge in Texas ruled that the DACA program is unlawful and blocked new applicants nationwide, which included Elle. She was so close to having some sort of protection as an immigrant.
But it definitely was like hard because I remember seeing that the judge had blocked and I remember like not even like being like able to cry because it was almost like one of those things where it's like, yeah, it was almost like, of course, like that would happen. So I definitely like think like I didn't process that one for like a long time.
It was another moment where the country she spent most of her life told her she couldn't do something. As an undocumented person without legal status, Elle can't get a driver's license, so she takes the bus everywhere. She also can't apply for a work permit. Those are just some of the basic things she can't access. And of course, there's the fear of deportation.
Thanks to ex-Curt Nunez for bringing us that story. It was a preview of WUWM's podcast, Status Pending. You can hear the full episode at WUWM.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And of course, we'll end the show with a quick check of your weekend forecast. Much colder today than the past few days, highs in the 30s, and wind gusts near 20 miles per hour at times. Lows down into the teens overnight, only getting into the 40s tomorrow, but by Sunday, we're back into the 50s and 60s. And that'll do it for this Friday. Glad you could join us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. Thanks for being here. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.